You know, sometime back I became curious about the number of times that Jesus spoke of himself as being one whom God had sent. And here's what I found in the Gospels, which I thought was worth mentioning. In Matthew only records Jesus saying that God sent him. He only mentions that twice. Mark records it once. Luke records Jesus saying that God sent him four times. And then John says that he records Jesus saying that 35 times. Now, I don't have an explanation why twice, once, four. What that stands out to me and says that in John's gospel, where there are 21 chapters, 35 times in those 21 chapters, John is specifically drawing his reader's attention to Jesus saying that he was sent. Apparently, he wanted to make the point that Jesus didn't just happen to show up at some random time, but he was sent for a purpose. He was sent on a mission. And certainly, you know that. What we're remembering this morning when we observe the Lord's Supper is that Jesus was sent on a mission, and most often, I think, we think in terms of what he did. Obviously, we're remembering the body, the blood. It brings to our remembrance what Jesus did on that mission. We remember that he died for our sins, as we should. All of us will or have said, done, thought something that was not what God wanted us to say, do, or think. All of us have or will in the future, or have or will not do, say, or think something that God wishes that we would. And when that happens, or when that happens, it's a sin, isn't it? It's something that's not what God wanted. And since everybody does it, sometimes we think it's no big deal. But what we remember is God apparently doesn't share that perspective. He apparently thinks that sin is a big deal. No matter how much we may try to minimize it, no matter how much we try to avoid talking about it, no matter how many different ways we find to call it something other than sin, alternative ways to live our life or whatever we do, God says that not doing what he wants us to do or doing what he doesn't want us to do is a big deal. And that's what we're remembering. Because God says our sin separates us from him, and God does not want to be separated from you. Isn't that good news? And so God provided a way for that separation to be bridged. That separation is an eternal condemnation that we can't do anything about, but God did something about it, and we rightly remember what he did. He sent his son on a mission for a purpose, to die on the cross on our behalf. But this morning, I want us, not that we can escape thinking about what he did, but I want us especially to think about why it all happened. We don't get together and talk about, you know, I don't tell Larry necessarily what I'm going to preach about or say, but the music this morning just fit perfectly with what I want to bring to your attention this morning. And the question is, why? Why would God send Jesus for the purpose of being put to death, especially the death by crucifixion? And I trust that you know the answer to that. But in case it escapes you this morning, we just want to remind you of it. When you take the bread and you take from the cup this morning, you're remembering what he did. He willingly let people spit on him and beat him and eventually nail him to a cross in order to die for us. But I want you to know why. And you know why? I want to remind you. Why do we need to be reminded? Because sometimes we get distracted and we forget. I suppose we could say that God sent him for the purpose. Why he sent him was because that was our greatest need, was to have forgiveness of sin. And certainly that would be right. But I think there's something, a truth that's kind of an umbrella even over that. And the reason God sent him on that mission, the why of this whole thing, you remember the verse. It's John 3:16. It tells us the why. It's for God so loved you. God so loved you that he did something. He sent Jesus on a mission. He gave us his only begotten Son, with the purpose being that whoever would believe in him would not suffer that eternal separation from God, eternal condemnation, but would be given everlasting life, right? Do you remember the next verse in that after John 3:16 is the verse that says, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." That was the why. He loved you so much that he wanted to put an end to the separation that sin causes us. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." This morning we're remembering in Ephesians 1 in verses 5 and 7, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Listen to this phrase. According to the kind intention of his heart. I love that phrase. Saying that God, in love, predestined us, decided long before that he would adopt us as his sons through Jesus Christ to himself, and then it says, according to the kind intention of his heart. He just wanted to do it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which Paul then says, he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. This morning we want to remember Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This morning we remember the good news of Jesus Christ. And as you take from the elements of this table this morning, I want you to, you're not going to be able to keep from thinking about what he did, but I want you to keep remembering why he did it. Why would God send his Son on the mission to suffer for you, to suffer crucifixion for you? The answer cannot be that you deserved it in some way. The answer cannot be by any measure of goodness in you that God thought he owed it to you. It was out of the kind intention of his heart that he would choose to love you in such a way. And during the bread this morning, I want you to remember to thank God for his love. And then when we pass the cup around, I want you to spend that time praying and thinking about in what way this week will you demonstrate your love for him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we remember this morning. We remember because we so easily get distracted. We start thinking about other things. And not because we intend or have bad intentions, but sometimes we just forget to remind ourselves of how great your love for us is. And unfortunately, Father, we exhibit that as we worry about things in our life. As we stress over things that we don't know how to control, we forget, Father, that if you would so love us to send your Son to us, what other thing would you hold back from us? May we be grateful for your love that you've demonstrated. And may we be mindful and remember this morning how we ought to demonstrate our love to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the gentlemen who are going to help me with the Lord's Supper this morning, if you guys would gather and come on down. While they're doing that, let me just say to you that we invite you this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we would invite you to share this with us. If you're not a believer, you have a child here who's not yet accepted Jesus Christ, we would just remind you that you're not, come on down, guys, we're not imparting grace to you this morning by taking from this table. This does nothing for you if you're not a believer in Christ. We do this because we are believers in Christ. We don't do this to receive God's grace, as some might say. Would a couple of you take the cover off for me? We don't do this to receive God's grace because Scripture clearly tells us how we receive God's grace. How is that? It's through faith in Jesus Christ, right? All right, so we do this because we are saved, not in order to be saved. Father, in these moments, we are certainly aware of the sacrifice that was made. We think about the suffering that Jesus endured. In fact, endured for the joy set before him, he endured that suffering. Because he wanted to provide for us, certainly for our greatest need, but he wanted to demonstrate to us the extent of your love for us. That you would withhold no good thing, even your only son. How great that love is, Father. And we thank you. We thank you, Father, for that demonstration of love. We thank you, Father, for it reminds us that there is no good thing that you would ever withhold from us, for you've proven there is no limit to your love. May our hearts rejoice in that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When Matthew records the first Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, he says, "And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, through your Apostle John, you've taught us that we are to love you because you first loved us. And so, Father, again, as we take from this cup, we cannot keep from thinking about what was done, the blood that was shed. But Father, this morning, we want to remember why, and it's because of this great love that you had for us. And Father, now I pray that our hearts would be turned to how we can love you because you first loved us. And may we, Father, give you the love that you've shown to us as you have defined for us, that is the love that sacrifices. It is the love that puts the needs of others ahead of our own. And Father, this morning we most likely would need to confess to you and agree with you that there are times that we put our own needs ahead of yours, our own wishes ahead of yours. Father, forgive us. And may we right now, this morning, be thinking about how we want to show you, how we want to demonstrate our love to you this day, this week. And may it be for your glory. May it involve sacrifice. May we show you our heart for you this week. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew goes on to say, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" Here this morning, and I hope that it won't just be a thing we do, but it'll be a conviction of your heart that because he so loved us, we need now to go and love him. And I hope that you've been thinking about what do you need to do to demonstrate, not just to tell him, it's good that we do that, but we want to demonstrate to him in our life that we love him. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. and you'll be dismissed. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to you. Really, Father, it's hard for us to put in words really what we owe you for the love that you've shown to us, except just simply to say ourselves. I pray, Father, that this week you'll not find us holding back anything, time, talent, anything from you, for there is no greater good than we could do than to serve you, to love you. May you be pleased with your children this week, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.